Hey, good morning, everybody. Ava, thanks so much for reading that passage of scripture for us. I'm just going to share some slides. So I'll just bring that up. And hopefully you can see all that. Okay. Earlier this week, the weather was absolutely wonderful. And on Monday morning, I went for a bike ride and a pray with my eyes open, I have to say, been a bit dangerous otherwise, before I sort of came back to prepare the talk for today. As I was cycling along through the center of the city and just enjoying being in the Binnenstadt, I felt prompted to go to this street, to Lockhartstraat. And I just spent some moments just praying there. And you might think, well, why was that? Well, along that street, on the right-hand side, if you're going back towards the Braestraat, there is a small pub there. It's in the right-hand photograph. And this was the spot where Tim Sutherland, who was the first pastor of ICL, many of you know Tim, really felt prompted that they should begin a new church congregation in the Leiden area. And to start seeking the Lord about that. And so along with Marquita, his wife, and some others that they were journeying with together, they really started praying about that. And this verse from Isaiah 61, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, was very much key scripture. So I love the fact that Christina kicked off the service with Isaiah 61. I didn't know she was going to do that. And it was great to just take that time at the beginning today to allow those words to sort of sink in. You know, so, well, why am I mentioning this right now? Well, I just felt prompted to go. And maybe as we're talking today a little bit about not conforming to this world and being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that one of the things that can really help is to remember the Lord's faithfulness. What began those 17 years ago, what became ICL? Well, we're still here. The journey is carrying on. And over those years, even amongst maybe the tougher moments, the easier moments, the Lord has been faithful. And I think that's a good thing for us all to remind ourselves, especially when perhaps life perhaps feels tougher or darker, or just even during this whole weird time we've had with this pandemic, that the Lord is faithful. So last week began talking about a new series, Transformational Love, based around Romans 12. And today I want to focus on verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Last week, I focused on our giving of our bodies as living sacrifices. One of the songs that Ineke led us in earlier was all around that theme, this giving of our whole selves and who we are as an act of worship, as an act of service to the Lord. Robert Mounts, in his Roman commentary, goes on to write that verse 2 tells us of two ongoing activities that carry out the intention of being a living sacrifice, not conforming to the pattern of this world and being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So firstly, not conforming any longer to the pattern of this world. This word conform, excuse me, means to be identified with, or in this case with do not, that we're not identified with. The underlying Greek word is about not assuming a similar outward form or expression by following the same pattern or model or mold of something else. And in this case, many English translations say that we're not to follow this world. And I think the danger with that can be that we start to feel negatively about the earth or about people around us. But actually, the root of this word is aeon. It means a period of time or an age. The Apostle Paul, like many others, they had a view from scripture that there were two ages. There were this present age, which he refers to, for example, in Galatians 1, and there was the age to come. And it's to that age to come, or rather the one who will bring that new age to come, Jesus, who's to be the real shaper of our thinking and whom we're to seek to conform to. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we read these words, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." again, I realize there's a danger that could sound quite escapist and as if we're not supposed to connect with real life. But that isn't what Paul is saying here. It's about our focus. And this idea of two ages links very much with the thought that the kingdom of God is now, but it's also not yet. It's now, but not yet. In Luke 17:21, Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom of God is in your midst. And yet it was very clear from his life and his teaching that the kingdom of God wouldn't fully come until he comes again. But there are signs of the kingdom of God already breaking into this age, of this age to come breaking into now. And followers of Jesus are living as part of that kingdom which is breaking in. Last week, I made reference back to Romans 6. And in that passage, Paul writes about that followers of Jesus are no longer under the dominion of sin, under the dominion of wrongdoing. It doesn't mean we can't sin, but it means we're not under the rule of it, which is connected with this age. Now, this being said, Douglas Moo, in his commentary on Romans, writes this: although we belong to the new era introduced by Christ, the old era is still with us. We still live in a world strongly influenced by sin and ungodly ways of thinking and behaving. We're not magically set apart from the world when we believe. Well, we're not magically set apart from the age when we believe. Robert Mounts, again, in his commentary, the churches stand out from the world as a demonstration of God's intention for the human race. To be culturally identified with the world is to place the church at risk. I don't know what you think about sentences like that. You might say, well, that sounds pretty good. But actually, I think we need to take a little bit of care here. All people, whether they have belief in God or not, have all kinds of voices and opinions impacting them, as this photo by Yasin Yusuf seeks to illustrate. For those who have faith in God, I think it can be easy but quite toxic to fall into some kind of isolationism and take on a mindset of retreat and being like the holy remnant. We read in verse 1 about offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And this word holy, as I touched on last week, about being set apart. In some ways, then we distance ourselves from society. And I don't think that is what Paul is getting at here at all. You know, sometimes we distance ourselves and then it seems like we no longer engage with others or the issues that concern them. So, for example, caring for the environment. We can always have this attitude, well, Jesus is coming again, there's a new heaven and a new earth, so we don't need to bother with all of that stuff, do we? And yet scripture is full of calls for us to be stewards of what the Lord has given us. So we can possibly, or there could be a danger of, as followers of Jesus, of ending up in a bit of a bubble where perhaps everything we watch, everything we listen, etc., is Christian, and we assume, because that's the case, that we're not conforming to the pattern of this age, to the way ways of thinking which are contrary to the ways of God. And yet we could be in a Christian bubble and still be conforming to the pattern of this age. For example, we still could be driven by fear or selfishness or insecurity, for example. Plus, also, if we are sort of like in fortress mode and we're cut off from society, how are we going to be salt and light, like Jesus spoke about in Matthew 5 as part of the Sermon on the Mount? How are we going to be salt and light amongst our neighbours, our colleagues, our fellow students? So I don't think not conforming to the pattern of this age is about a retreat and about a holding on until Jesus comes back, about disengaging from society. In fact, I think if we are truly those who are offering ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord and seeking to not conform, in fact, we will actively engage with society instead, rather than retreating. But I'd like to suggest that this not conforming is more about discernment. We need to discern how we live. We need to discern what's impacting our thinking and our actions and our words. It's not that everything that isn't directly Christian is wrong. Of course it isn't. But nor is it that everything around us is good to conform to. N.T. Wright, in his commentary, suggests we must be ready to challenge those parts where the present age shouts or perhaps whispers seductively that it would be easier and better to do things that way, while the age to come, already begun in Jesus, insists that belonging to the new creation means that we must live this way instead. Because the journey for us all is to pray about that and to think about that and engage with, like, what does that actually mean in our lives to not be conforming? Now, having said that, Paul writes to the Romans that it's not enough just to not conform to this age. In fact, they will conform unless they're also transformed by the renewing of their minds. At the start of his letter to Romans, for example, in chapter 1, 18 to 32, Paul analyzes human rebellion against God, including a fair amount of wrong thinking. Elsewhere in Ephesians 4, 17, we read Paul writes that we're to no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. The word here, transformed, as probably maybe many of you know, maybe all of us know, is the word from which we get metamorphosis. It's used twice elsewhere in the New Testament. Firstly, when Jesus is transfigured before Peter, James, and John, that you can read about in the Gospels. But also in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we can read these words. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Note there it says being transformed. It's not a one-off event. It's a process going on in our lives. Congolese theologian David Kasali in the African Bible Commentary writes this: this renewing is an internal process, a reorientation of our worldview as we seek to live the way of Christ, live the way Christ lived, and to think as he thought. By offering our bodies to God, we're offering him our minds. Now, I don't know about you, but I've grown up in the church world. A number of times I heard talks about renewing the mind. And I think sometimes there was a danger in some church world teaching on this, that basically this whole topic gets reduced to behavior management. Don't watch certain things that are unhelpful or sinful, or don't think certain ways about people, like being jealous about them. Now, those things in themselves, they are good things to avoid. But if we reduce renewing our minds solely to behavior management alone and modifying our behavior, I think we're going to miss what it means about to be transformed. It's about all of our thinking, all of the ways that we view life, view the world, view one another, and so on. You know, we could say to us, well, I'm not putting impure things into my minds. But what if deep down we are harboring racist or other prejudicial or judgmental thoughts towards others? Or we are careless about the way that we think about this planet that God has given us? Other verses from the New Testament, Ephesians and Colossians: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Again, notice that phrase there, being renewed, a process, not an event. Now, as I come towards sort of moving towards the end of what I want to say this morning, I want to acknowledge that someone personally who struggles at times with heightened anxiety, who along the way in life has had a burnout, who's had the edges of being low and really quite low at times, that I want to acknowledge that maybe for some of us, the whole idea of being transformed by the renewing of our minds can feel like a challenge. In the next slide, I'm going to make some suggestions to help us. But I'm not wanting to make these as like an easy fix. And also, if any of us are having therapeutic support in our lives, this is not supposed to be some kind of replacement to that. Hopefully, it's a complement to it. So let me just share these suggestions. And if you go online, because I looked this week, there are all kinds of sites, 10 things to renew your mind, 15 steps to renew your mind, 12 steps, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there. So I'm not kind of wanting to add to that load. But here are just some suggestions. Firstly, that we pray, that we ask the Lord for his help. Don't even remember last week towards the end of the talk, I just said we're maybe thinking, well, how do I do this offering my body as a living sacrifice thing? And I encourage us, let's just pray and ask God and just say, what does that look like? Again, I think we can ask the Lord for his help. We can ask the Holy Spirit's help. In Luke 11, we read Jesus teaching about prayer. And he says to his followers, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And just a little bit later, he says to him, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the Holy Spirit is the one who's involved in our lives in bringing renewal. Listen to these words written to Titus. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the Spirit of God is with us. And there's so many attributes spoken of the Holy Spirit. For example, that he's a counselor, the one who comes alongside. But also he's the Spirit of truth. One of the things that can so help us with renewing our minds, renewing the way we think, to be transformed, is to have truth coming into our lives. And so linking to that, the second suggestion I want to say is that we sow scripture into our minds. We find ways to meditate on it, study it, memorize it. Just some different words. I just pulled out some examples from scripture. In Joshua, as they're about to enter the land of Canaan, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. One example from the Psalms, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May we be people who are like the good soil that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 13. But hey, I get it. You know, maybe for some of us, you know, we're Christians. I'm supposed to engage with the Bible, but it feels like mission impossible. Maybe for some of you right now, you feel like, oh, reading the Bible, it just sucks. It's just, I don't know what to do about this. I want to encourage us, if that's the case, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. Talk with others and ask them what helps them and see if there's some new ways that perhaps that you can engage with God's word to help sow scripture into your mind, into your life. A third point, let's be discerning what we feed ourselves on. In Galatians 6, we read these words, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, they will also reap. We need to think about what we are feeding ourselves on. You know, if Netflix, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and various other media outlets are the only things that are really we're feeding ourselves on, then it's quite possible we're going to end up conforming to the pattern of this age in one way or another. Now, I'm not saying retreat. I've already touched on that a little bit earlier. I think it's good that we engage with other things around us, but let's be discerning what we allow in. I love hearing, for example, the viewpoints of others around the world and people from different perspectives. One of the things I listen to quite regularly is a podcast called The Sacred from a Christian organization in the UK called Theos. Very often the guests who are interviewed aren't Christians, and I enjoy just listening where other people are coming from. But I want to encourage us all to be discerning people, whatever it is that we're feeding ourselves, and dare I say, including all the Christian stuff that's out there on YouTube. Some of that also needs weeding out. Not everything that uses the Christian label is necessarily going to be helpful for us in renewing our minds and our sense of peace and hope and encouragement and joy let alone conviction and the sense of God's justice and maybe what else he would say into our lives. I kind of hesitated to put this next one in, to be honest, because I don't want it to sound like positive thinking or mind over matter stuff. But this idea to talk to yourself, don't just listen to yourself. I know I need to do this for me at times. In Psalm 42, we read these words, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." Here is David speaking to himself, facing up, what is it that's making me low? What is it that's bringing me down? And not to ignore that, but to face up to it. And then he encourages himself to put his hope afresh in the Lord and find a way to find that fresh encouragement. In 2 Corinthians 10, we read these words, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, the context is primarily about those bringing false teaching into the early church. But I think there can be an application here for our own personal thoughts as well. There can be a sense that we bring our ways of thinking to the Lord and just say, "Lord, help me to see things as you would have me to see them." I don't know about you, but I don't find that always easy to do on my own. And that's why I think community is really important. As we will come to a later date, a little bit later in Romans 12, Paul writes about the one body and how we belong to each other. And I want to encourage us, especially, I don't know, even maybe today, you're listening and just in terms of your thinking and where life's at, it all feels quite dark, or maybe you feel discouraged. It's very easy to get isolated. And I want to encourage you, even if it's going to take some energy, to reach out and just to ask some others to be journeying with you. I think very often it can help us just to get things out of our heads and to talk it out. And that can be done in a safe place and with people who we know aren't going to judge us and they're going to journey with us and they've got the best for us. That can really help. And I think that can be a real help in seeking to renew our minds. I know for me, sometimes if I get lost in my thoughts, it really helps that I can talk with Helen and with others who know me well and can help to give a fresh perspective. Okay, still breathing, still with me. Just two last points very briefly as we draw towards a close. As I've said a couple of times during this talk, not conforming to the pattern of this age and being transformed by the renewing of our minds is a process. It's not a one-off event. You might say, "Well, I've tried to deal with my anxiety, or I've tried to deal with that way of thinking, and then it's happened again." Well, I want to encourage us to keep coming back to the Lord and keep trusting him. Paul writes, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, even that we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." 2 Corinthians 4. And elsewhere, "He who began a good work in you will," not might, "will carry it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And then one last suggestion. Rest. "Be still and know that I am God," part of the words of Psalm 46. Perhaps for some of us, one of the best things that we could do in these weeks ahead is to rest. Maybe unplug from social media more regularly. A lot of us are having more screen time, just even practically, just have breaks away from the screen. But also when it comes to terms of renewing our minds and not conforming, that perhaps we just need to unplug sometimes and rest. I think sometimes we can go, I've got to renew my mind. And actually we can get ourselves into a place where actually we're doing the opposite. And perhaps the best thing that can do is some rest, some stillness, whatever that might look like for each one of our lives. There's more I could say on renewing our minds, but I hope there's something in that that perhaps is a help for each one of us. What's the result of not conforming to this age and to being transformed by the renewing of our minds? Well, in some ways, the whole of what follows in Romans 12 is a result of that. But in the immediate context of the verse, Paul writes, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I could take another 20 minutes or so right now to talk about God's will. Don't worry, I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it hanging there. But just that thought that as we seek to not conform and to be transformed, that we can have a sense of God's will in our lives, even in the realities of the ongoing with the pandemic and all these challenges, that we can know God's will in our lives, not just for our own sakes, but the sake of those around us. Okay, let's just pray together. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your presence amongst us, even as we're gathered together online. And Lord, thank you that you're with the rest of your church across this nation today as well. Lord, through you inspiring Paul to write these words, you call us to not conform to the pattern of this age. Lord, help us to understand, what does that really mean? Lord, we don't believe that you're calling us to live in a bubble and be detached from our neighbours and our colleagues, our fellow students. You're not calling us to live in a way where we're not engaged with society. But Lord, what does it mean to have our thoughts set on you and not on earthly things? Please show us what that means in a very real, practical way here in 2021, in Leiden or wherever it is that we're living. And Lord, also this idea of being transformed, of being metamorphosized by the renewing of our minds. Again, Lord, please show us, what does that mean in reality? And that you would help us. Thank you that we can come to you and ask for your help, Lord. And so, God, even as we go into this next week, Lord, show us just each day how this might actually impact our lives. For your name and your glory. Amen. Okay, we're going to have another song now of worship led by Inika.